If you think eating disorders can't possibly be that bad, listen to these chilling facts. Eating disorders are among the deadliest of mental illnesses, second only to opioid overdose. 9% of the U.S. population, or 28.8 million Americans, will have an eating disorder in their lifetime. 10,200 deaths each year are the direct result of an eating disorder. That's one death every 52 minutes in America. And about 25% of people with eating disorders attempt suicide. Chrissy Tatro was rescued out of anorexia when she was 16 by the grace of God. She almost died from this mental disorder, and Jesus lifted her blinders to the devil's deception on her mind. She worked for a church as a kids director for 9 years prior to joining a national ministry where she is the national director of strategic relationships. She also dabbles as an artist on the side. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm your host, Tina Griffin. We are honored to have you with us today as we chew on the topic of eating disorders with dear friend, Chrissy Tatro, National Director of Strategic Relationships for American Heritage Girls. Girl, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed and highly favored, so it's good to be here. Thank you, Tina.
Chrissy, you've been married for 24 years to your middle school heartthrob, Steve. You have two teen daughters, one a sophomore in college and the other a junior in high school. Do we got all that correct?
Steve had an obsession with me. We were not sweethearts. We actually didn't really start dating until college. But we've been married 24 years, next year celebrating 25 years.
That is amazing. You surpass like every Hollywood couple. There might be one or two in there, but still, that's amazing. Yes. Kudos to you, woman. We're going to have you back on for the marriage series. You and Steve can just give us your dirt.
Absolutely. He's funny.
I got to get him in a mix. Now, I heard your story firsthand when we met at the American Heritage Girls Leadership Conference this past summer. My jaw was on the ground in the first 3 minutes, and I said, we're going to create an eating disorder theme to get you on the program. Phenomenal story. Let's just cut right to the chase. What led you to developing anorexia? Tell us your story here, woman.
Goodness, I think it's the perfect soup. You know, there's so many ingredients to a good quality soup. Tina, I had the, a girl of the 80s and 90s that was playing against me. Teen magazines, MTV, etc. But also, I grew up in a divorced household. My parents were divorced when I was 3 months old. Oh. I was schlepping my backpack, my brown duffel bag, between my mom's house and my father's house for years. I would spend my Monday through Friday with my mom, and then my weekends with my dad. And they were very different households. My mother's home was party central. We had a disco light in our living room. We had parties all the time, even during school nights. We grew pot in our big garden. We grew everything from strawberries up to corn. Anything in between was pot. So I learned how to roll it, how to dry it, how to smoke it. They thought it was really cute. That's my stepdad. And they were just about, I think, trying to live out everything the 70s was about and keep it going.
Now people not seeing this and they're tuning in via radio or audio here, you got to go to counterculturemom.com and click on this episode to watch it, because this picture is craziness. How old are you here when you're smoking, and what are you smoking?
As a cigar, and I'm probably 5. So they thought it was really cute to take pictures of me with marijuana or cigars or with tequila. Promiscuous pictures I didn't share with you. It was just cute. There was always parties. It was always really loud. There was smoke everywhere. So I just grew up with a lot of that example, but then I would leave it on Friday through Sunday and go be with my dad. It was a very quiet nature setting, a log home. My brother was there. My older brother moved out when he was, I think, 3 or 4. He knew that it wasn't safe to be with our mom.
Wow.
It was just a very black and white world, and it was also, I guess if you wanted to describe, I was one person Monday through Friday, and then I was somebody else Friday through Sunday. I always was so relieved to get to my dad's on Sunday. And I'm thankful that I had that, because it's probably my saving grace. It's probably the reason why I am who I am today, is because I had that respite on those weekends.
Wow. How did that turn into the wild child forced upon you by your mother and stepfather? How did that lifestyle turn into anorexia and all your issues with eating disorder? And when did that start? How old were you when that all took place?
So I can always remember my mom having diets pasted on the back of cabinets. She would do Richard Simmons. She would have diets. I had a stepsister who would tell me, I'm eating too much and you're going to get fat. So there was just an obsession for looks and for appeal. And I think that came from my mom also just wanting to be, I think, so appealing to the men around her. After my stepfather passed away, there was a series of men that would move into our house with their children. And I was instantly just told, they're now your like brother or sister. And so, and all she really wanted was to be appealing to the man that was in the house. She did end up getting pregnant with one, and I now have like this amazing half brother who's amazing, like by the love of God, because of an accident. But I think being 13, having a half brother, being 13, seeing 17 magazine, being 13, and experiencing everything I experienced, thinking it was normal. And then I was a very muscular, athletic young lady. I was in cheer. I was very achievement driven. I had all the ingredients, Tina, to be like perfection driven and wanting to be better than anybody. I wanted to be seen. Because I wasn't seen by my mom. I wasn't seen by my dad. I was living between two households in a duffel bag. And I so wanted to be somebody. Wanted. And so all of that just like dripped into the perfect storm. And Satan saw that. He took leverage over that. And so I think, again, that ingredient soup was there for me. And I think anorexia, I thought, was a way to heal my pain, but it wasn't. Only Jesus is the way to heal the pain.
Absolutely. We're going to get into that. Can you take us in a day in the life, like have us revisit and see through your eyes what you lived through as a teen, like between 13 and 16 years old? What was your normal day like? Did you throw up the food? Did you not eat? Did you overeat? What did you actually do and why did you do it?
So I was a freshman in high school. Prior to that, I always felt kind of uncomfortable in my skin, just thicker thighs. My nickname was Herschel Walker.
That's horrible.
You know, right? I was a jumper. I was the base and cheerleading. I would lift the girls up high, you know. And, you know, just some girls just develop faster than others and get taller and stronger. And then everybody else catches up with you. But nobody told me that. So I think it was my freshman year. I was in track. And I had a coach that said, Christy, you're really good, but if you would just lose about 5 pounds, you'll be so much faster. Right now you're doing hurdles, high jump, long jump. We got you on some relays, but if you could just like slim down 5 pounds, and being the achiever, I'm going to get a straight A in this. So started researching and figured out the science, cut calories, exercise more. And I was running. I was exercising 2-3 times a day. I was restricting foods. And then I saw the results and I started getting attention. And you can read these stories among all kinds of folks with eating disorders about the attention. You get that high. You want to keep going. You want to hold on to it. It's a lie. It's a deception. And by the time I entered my sophomore year in high school on a 5'6" 1/2" frame, I was hitting about 97, 95 pounds.
I was just going to say that. Is this you on the right here?
It is me with my best friend, Kelly. And I'm wearing like 3 pairs of pants and probably 2 or 3 sweatshirts.
Oh my gosh. Wow. The pressure. And then the sad thing is you started getting recognized, noticed, and more famous in the school hallways by your classmates, which is what you wanted. you wanted the attention because you weren't getting it at home. And here you're getting the negative attention, which is only causing you to think that you have to keep up the anorexia looking frame.
Yeah. And I was also dating a boy. And I think there was just the pressures were like darts coming from every angle. What is a woman? What is perfection? What is beauty? I had no example of that. You know, I was just, I was a lost floating soul. Like what media tells me this, MTV, these magazines tell me this, Hollywood tells me this. You know, I'm in a relationship, I'm uncomfortable. My best friend's tiny, you know, like I was just not in my own skin. And I didn't have that relationship with God. So I didn't know what my identity should be wrapped up into. I wasn't comfortable. I had all this trauma from my childhood I'd never dealt with. And of course it's going to surface. So it surfaces in me taking control.
Wow. I can't even imagine. It's like a downward spiral, but I can see if you didn't know the Lord, didn't have the role models you need in your home, your mother wasn't there for you to model that Christian motherhood picture. I can see how you did what you did. But the cool thing is you're living, breathing testimony to many people around you today. And after this commercial break, we're going to hear how God rescued Christy from anorexia right after this.
The only way we can truly make America great again is by investing in America first. Cortez Wealth Management provides American-based investment opportunities so you can rest assured that your funds are supporting businesses that you value. Are your investments aligned with your beliefs? Are you unknowingly supporting Chinese companies? Do you know if you hold ESG investments? We will help you answer these critical questions and more. Our professionals provide a strategic planning process in our America First retirement plan that is uniquely tailored to meet your goals and objectives. With our competitive fees and personalized service, you will get the best possible protection and security on your investment while also supporting policies and products you believe in. Call Cortez Wealth Management now at 813-448-3446 or visit AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com and schedule an appointment with us today. That's AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Have peace of mind that when you retire, you will enjoy your golden years.
With all of the recent changes in the political and financial markets, there has never been a better time than right now to invest in silver and gold. When governments simply print billions of dollars in paper money in hopes of solving financial shortfalls, you know that it is time to buy and hold assets of true and lasting value. Free information is available to you right now by calling 888-747-3309. Whether you are a new investor or you're interested in preserving the value of your retirement accounts, we make it easy for you to make smart decisions for your financial future. The specialists at Cornerstone are here to serve you, work to satisfy your retirement goals, and communicate with respect. Call us right now at 888-747-3309. That's 888-747-3309. Or visit us online at cornerstoneassetmetals.com. That's cornerstoneassetmetals.com.
We are in a cancel culture. Is your money safe? Are you holding it in a place that shares your conservative Christian values? If your funds are not with a financial institution that shares your values, they may be in jeopardy if you are not in agreement with their secular values. American Christians could lose billions of charitable donations without even knowing it. Capstone Legacy Foundation's charter ensures that we follow donor intent. Please go to capstonelegacy.org to help us see if you need to change where you are holding your assets for planned giving. That's capstonelegacy.org.
Hey, just a quick reminder that there are so many options to tune into this Counterculture Mom program. Let your family and friends know the Counterculture Mom show is on many major podcast platforms. SiriusXM, Family Talk Channel 131, 600 radio stations nationwide, such as CSN, AFR, and Salem Radio, and over 20 TV networks and about 20 audio platforms. To find out more, download the Counterculture Mom app or go to counterculturemom.com and don't miss an episode. All right, I'm with dear friend Christy, who is talking about her wild past, went from smoking marijuana or implying, did you actually smoke marijuana at the age of 5, or is it just pictures taken to make it look like you were?
No, I smoked it. I knew how to roll it.
Christy. Okay, well, you got some talents that I'm glad you forgot how to do. And at the same time, experience, you can now save other people who might be doing marijuana and they're watching this program. And you're going to lead them down the path of victory here. So we got one question down out of the five. We're not doing too good today, but we are doing good in the fact that you are digging in deep. Second question for you, sister. You started the recovery process while in high school. What was that like?
It was difficult, Tina. So went from being this very thin person and having to still show up every day as you're transforming your body through nutrition and therapy. And it was very humiliating. My body became bloated and fat, and a total transformation from sophomore year to junior year. Very embarrassing. The only thing that really got me through was my newfound relationship with Jesus. And
I have to cut you off right there. Can you tell us what happened? Was it one day you woke up and someone invited you to church, youth group? How did you find the Lord in the middle of that mess and get on the straight and narrow?
It's a pretty miraculous story. And when I reread my words, it's hard to believe, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I was very sick. I had dropped out of everything, broke up with my boyfriend, cut off all my friends, couldn't be in anything anymore. It was a very cold February morning and I was very frail. I mean, it was bad. so bad, Tina. I don't have pictures of any of these things I could send you because I don't think that was a time of selfies. So like my spine was sticking out, my pelvic bones were sticking out. I lost all menstrual cycle. My hair was falling out. I was pale. I looked like a concentration camp victim.
Oh.
And then, you know, that's not good. So I was ready to die. And the night before I had taken a lot of pills. I didn't even know what they were. They were my stepmom's. And I just wanted to put everybody's life, like, just don't worry about me anymore. And that morning I miraculously woke up and the sun was coming up over my dad has a log house and it's just kind of in a valley. And there was the sun was coming up, but it just shone like fire. Like brilliant fire, like when you stare into your fire pit, like it was just like sparking. And I knew this was something different. And I felt the face of God. I did.
Uh-huh.
And I had been given like hints and bits from grandma's and my older brother talking about Jesus. And I was so desperate. I was like, God, I want to live. I need your help. And I went over to my full length mirror. It was a white wicker mirror, actually still in the basement. And I looked into it. I finally saw what other people saw. That's a deception of anorexia. Anorexics don't see what other people see in the mirror. It's they see all the imperfections. They see where they need to trim or lose or tighten up or whatever. They just continue to see a total lie. But my blinders were totally lifted, dropped, whatever, removed. And I saw what everybody else saw, and I feared for my life. And I got down on my knees and I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm desperate. I want to live my life for you. And that was a moment that I remember weeping. I didn't know where these tears came from. They came from the deepest well that I didn't even know I had. So the journey to come out of that was really hard. The well of depression and suicidal tendencies and anorexia, that whole big mix, is the darkest, deepest well. Satan wanted me to die because he knew my potential. He knew somebody I'd be on this show with you telling other people, like, only God can transform you. That's it. Inside out, outside in, anything. And so that journey out of that was really, you think, oh, she accepted Christ and it was just easy from there on out. Amen. No, it was like a humiliating journey because everybody's watching me and all eyes were on me. It was, and I was persecuted for carrying my Bible every day at school. I was keyed. It was so bad that I graduated early from high school.
Just to get out of there.
Just to get out.
You said someone keyed your car?
Oh yeah, many times. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Why were they so nasty? Did they like want to see you die? Weren't they excited at all that you were on this journey to no longer purge the food that you ate? That's so crazy to me.
You know, I didn't purge food. I restricted food. Oh. I limited calories. I worked out. I was never bulimic. But Key in the Car, they saw somebody who was once, I think, cool, part of high school, this and that section groups. Now I'm all of a sudden a Christian. I carry my Bible. I'm a Bible thumper. I'm a Jesus freak, that sort of thing. Look at her. She's now fluffier or whatever. And so it was just like, I think people get bored, kids get bored, and they get mean. And yeah, it was just not a great environment for me, for sure, in a healing process. So
I was gonna say, here you're needing people to come by your side because of all the hell you've been through, and all people are doing is throwing darts at you to make the hell hotter. It drives me crazy. But I think a lot of times too, if they don't have what you have and they want it, they become jealous instead of asking, what do you now have that's different about you? I want it.
And you know, it's interesting. I did lose a lot of friends, but I gained a lot of new friends, people, circles that I didn't even know existed. Even my best friend, we disconnected, but would later rejoin. God has if you allow it, he redeems everything. He does. And we're like the best friends now. So like we're doing Color Guard co-directing together on the side, and, you know, just, when you humble your heart and allow him to come in and heal all areas of your life, like, that is, it means more than like receiving $1 million check. I'm just saying. And honestly, yeah, if God wouldn't have healed me, I wouldn't have two beautiful daughters today. And this is one testimony of many I've seen God work in my life. I didn't even want kids. Like after all this trauma, my childhood, everything, anorexia, you know, neglect, everything. I didn't even want kids. We waited 5 years and finally, because of 9/11, that's a whole nother story. and God gave me that heart for children. I'm working in children's ministry, have children, work for a national children's ministry. Like, God is good.
Unreal. Now, your phenomenal book that you're working on right now, do you know the title of it, what's going to be in it, and when it's coming out? And people can stay in touch with you if they want to get their hands on that copy of the book by going to your LinkedIn page, which is Kristi Tatro, KristiTatro, tracking you down there. I also want to challenge the crowd here today. If you are not struggling with anorexia, but you suspect that someone is, neighbor, family member, grandchild, son, daughter, whoever it is, reach out to that person yourself. They might not have seen this episode or thought about reaching out to somebody. You reach out to them, loving arm around them, listen, talk, ask questions, and get them more counseling if needed, if it's serious, more serious than what you expect. Also, Kristi, last 2 seconds here, we got to make sure we give them a plug. American Heritage Girls, you work for them. Everybody tuning in right now, go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org. This is an organization that, Kristi, you work for. They are ministering to girls, families, and faith communities across this globe. Can you give us a quick little lowdown on what young girls will discover if they join American Heritage Girls?
So American Heritage Girls is an amazing ministry for girls 5 to 18. It's a Christ-centered character development program for girls. And they learn about Christ in every aspect of their program, whether it's earning badges or patches or doing high adventure, you know, spending time with their troops. We ask girls, what do you love most about American Heritage Girls? They say, you know, making friends, getting outdoors, learning about their identity. My word, it's social, emotional, citizenship. I mean, it's everything that every patriotic American would want, like a family would want for their girl. We are growing exponentially. We've seen an exponential growth in the last 2 years. I think families are waking up and they're just wanting to get their kids involved. And honored to be a part of them, honored to partner with different ministries, with you, Tina, with just so many other wonderful organizations to foster and bring great resources and programming to children and families that need it so much.
Absolutely. Once again, it's AmericanHeritageGirls.org. Go check it out. My girls are part of it right here in Tennessee. Fantastic. Get your girls involved. They will learn character development, have lasting friendships, learn about the Lord, be patriots, and that's what we need in this country today. All right, everybody, you heard Christy's phenomenal words. Go to counterculturemom.com, click on the Watch Now tab, and share this series, the eating disorder series this week, with other people around you. God will tell you who to share it with. You, who knows, you could save a life. Christy, keep at it. You rock. We're going to be in touch very soon here because I'm getting you on the Pop Culture Purge Tour. So we're not purging food. We're purging anything that needs to come out of our bodies that is not of God. So keep at it, woman. Looking forward to partnering with you more in the future.
All right. Thanks, Tina. It was a pleasure.